Welcome to the University of Nottingham podcast.
This week, as the war in Gaza continues, Professor Stefan Wolf looks at what needs to be done to end the conflict. He looks at the fundamental issues between Israel and Hamas.
What is not clear enough yet is whether there's actually a willingness to engage with Hamas politically.
And a role for Barack Obama in bringing international pressure to bear.
No, I absolutely think that the Middle East conflict cannot be resolved without high-profile, sustained and well-resourced American engagement.
How much longer do you think this will last?
Well, I think the length of the offensive by the Israelis has taken many people by surprise, in the sense that in the past, usually it was relatively short incursions into Gaza with very specific targets in mind. But this time it really seems that Israel is very much determined to significantly reduce the military capacity of Hamas. And given the events over the past 6 to 8 months, I would say, and even the longer history of Hamas's strategy, I think that's perfectly justifiable from an Israeli perspective. The question, however, to ask is that even with a continuation over another week or 10 days, whether Israel will really achieve its stated aims of curbing Hamas military power in the long term. In the short term, certainly, but in the longer term, Hamas has proven remarkably resilient in always regrouping, rearming, in a way re-strategizing how to deal with what they see as the unjust very existence of the Israeli state.
I was curious as to what's the role the war with Hezbollah in 2006 is playing here. From Israel's side, obviously Hezbollah, for a crude phrase, they fought the Israelis, they lived to tell about it. Do you think that war is having any kind of impact or influence over the way either side is behaving here?
That's very difficult to imagine, really, mostly from the perspective that Hamas is not just a military organization. So it's not just an army that once defeated, it has been comprehensively dealt with. I mean, Hamas is probably more a political movement in a way of, wouldn't go quite as far as saying it's a way of life, but it has a very, very strong ideological foundation. And that, I think, is something that will be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to remove. I think the important message, in a way, that Israel might be sending now is that it will take Hamas on militarily at any time that is necessary. At the same time, I think what is not clear enough yet is whether there's actually a willingness to engage with Hamas politically. Because, I mean, politically, the ideas of Hamas will not go away. Militarily, you can routinely defeat Hamas simply because of the much more superior power that the Israeli defense forces have. But it then just becomes a perpetual problem where sort of you will have frequent, regular military skirmishes, hostilities. But that will just not take care of the problem. It will buy you 4 months, 6 months, maybe a year of time before it starts all over again. So from that perspective, I think there's a military component of Israel's strategy, but that will only really work if at the same time there is going to be a political component that will actually say, okay, we are not negotiating with you as long as there's violence involved, but we would be prepared to come to a political arrangement if the violence stops. And that to some extent has been a message Israel has been sending, but probably not as loud and clear enough, and certainly it doesn't seem that it has been heard or will be acted upon on the part of Hamas at the moment.
In terms of the current situation, both sides ignoring UN calls for a ceasefire. There's also been a group of human rights lawyers and academics who are calling on the UK to meet its international obligations for what they claim of what they see as clear breaches of humanitarian rights on both sides. What will sort of be the watershed in this particular war? Why has the international community been not quiet. They have been reacting to it, but you'd expect a much stronger reaction, surely, from the international community on this.
Yes, I think that there's two issues here. I mean, one is obviously the sensitivity of the whole Middle East conflict, both the Arab-Israeli conflict and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So that always makes it very difficult sort of for the international community to take a clear stance vis-a-vis both sides. At the same time, I would say that, I mean, if we compared on a global scale, yes, over 1,000 people killed, most of them civilians, is obviously a great tragedy, but a tragedy that, if you compare it to the events in Darfur, for example, where we have had a real genocide going on for several years now, with probably 10, if not 100 times as many people killed, that has not necessarily propelled the international community into swift action. Over the past couple of months, we have had an escalating crisis in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, with many, many more people killed, hundreds of thousands displaced. Again, there has been talk, a lot of talk in the international community, but nobody exactly rushing to impose serious sanctions. So taking these two together and seeing it also at a time where public finances generally are not in plentiful supply, I was not particularly surprised that we haven't seen much more action here. So this, of course, is not to say this is necessarily right. I mean, I'm not trying to defend this degree of international passivity here. But we also have to see that, I mean, the international community has relatively little leverage, in particular over Hamas. And while I don't necessarily want to defend certain Israeli actions like the bombing of a school and sort of cutting off civilians really from emergency medical supplies, from my perspective, the main blame here really lies with Hamas, who have been engaging in this campaign of rocket attacks, which is very self-indulgent. I mean, it deliberately puts Palestinian civilians at risk, because it is very clear what the Israeli reaction is going to be. So and from that perspective, it was in that sense almost premeditated on the part of Hamas to provoke Israeli retaliation and then on the back of that try to get international action in support of Hamas. So I think from that perspective, the fact that there is no ceasefire at the moment, I think, is primarily the fault of Hamas.
Obviously, the ideal solution is two states. I mean, that's far from achievable. If this continues, if both sides continue to completely disregard any call from the UN for a ceasefire, we've got Ban Ki-moon in Egypt. At what point will intervention become necessary?
For intervention really to become necessary, we will need to see a much, much higher threshold of, in particular, civilian casualties. But this really, I think, is quite difficult to imagine. I mean, the problem with the two-state solution is, to a large extent, again, a problem with Hamas. I mean, Hamas doesn't accept that Israel has a legitimate right to exist as a state. So from that perspective, it may seem obvious to us that it is a two-state solution that we'll need. If one of the sides doesn't actually accept that the other state, sort of the second of the two states, has a right to exist and very much sort of has shown a kind of behavior that really tries to make it very clear that they will fight the existence of that state until their last drop of blood, so to speak, the solution is not going to be a solution. And in many ways, what we have seen over the past couple of years with the establishment first of a Palestinian authority and then the withdrawal of the Israeli forces, the coming to power of Hamas with this very radical anti-Israel agenda has in many ways exacerbated the problem and moved us further away from accomplishing the two-state solution than we probably were 5 or 6 years ago. So from that perspective, it's I think it's very difficult to see what kind of international intervention really could bring peace here, because an international administration, if you want, say, of the Gaza Strip and or the West Bank, would have to deal with exactly the same problem. I mean, it wouldn't make Hamas as an ideological movement determined to basically eradicate Israel as a state, wouldn't make that go away.
Strangely enough, coming back to George Bush, there's been criticism of him lately and his administration's lack of interest, actually, in the Middle East question. We've seen in previous US administrations consistent efforts to engage, not necessarily to solve the problem, but certainly to keep up with those efforts.
Mm.
We've not seen that with George Bush's administration in the past 7 years. Is that a contributing factor to the situation we have now? Not necessarily the violence, but certainly the standoff. And if so, what would Barack Obama need to do in order to get this on track? That's assuming, of course, that America is that influential that throwing their hat in the ring makes a difference.
No, I absolutely think that the Middle East conflict cannot be resolved without high-profile, sustained and well-resourced American engagement. I mean, every little bit of progress that we have seen over the past, now over 60 years since the creation of the State of Israel, has been due to American efforts. That I don't mean to take away from the efforts of the Norwegians in the early 1990s that led to the Oslo Agreement. But again, I think it was very much indicative of the importance of the United States that the signature and the symbolic handshake actually happened on the White House lawn rather than in Oslo. So I think from that perspective, it's very clear that only U.S. engagement can really bring a stable solution in the long term. Now, the problem with Bush in many ways is that his administration has not really engaged very heavily with the Middle East. I mean, about a year ago, we had the Annapolis conference, which was hailed as something that would finally bring lasting peace to the Middle East.
It's kind of like sticking a plaster on a really bad wound, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, early on we had the roadmap, which really didn't get us anywhere. So I think what is necessary for the Obama administration now is really to get engaged with both sides, which in my view also means there needs to be some communication with Hamas that probably will be sort of through back channels, very secretive initially. But again, I mean, the problem can't be solved without talking to Hamas. I mean, they are a major player. They control the Gaza Strip now. They have apparently significant public support. They certainly have public support in a lot of the other Arab countries. So from that perspective, it will require bringing Hamas into a political process aimed at a settlement. At the same time, and I mean, this may be coincidental or not so coincidental, I mean, we have the Israeli military campaign now in the dying days of the Bush administration, where there has been a relatively, let's call it, forgiving attitude towards Israeli policy. That might well change under Obama. Not that I think it will, that the U.S. will give up its support for Israel or for the existence of Israel. But certainly I could imagine that an Obama administration will be much tougher in terms of imposing conditions on Israel as well. And it's one thing for the Israelis to say that they just engage with Hamas as a terrorist organization. At the same time, they have not really been sending political signals towards the Fatah movement, for example, by stopping settlement activities. I mean, these have still continued. They are one of the most contentious issues in a future peace agreement: what to do with the settlers, with the settlements, what to do with the borders, and so on and so forth. So I think there needs to be a real recalibration of U.S. policy in terms of the intensity of the engagement and in terms of the leverage that the U.S. brings to bear on both sides. Engage with the Arab world more generally, engage with Hamas in one way or another, but also be a little bit more measured and more balanced in the sense that sort of Israel also has its role to play and has its contribution to make to lasting peace.
You've been listening to the University of Nottingham podcast. Some of the music in this show has been supplied by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. That's music.podshow.com. If you'd like to comment on this or any other podcast you've heard, you can add a message on iTunes or simply drop me a line at andrew.burden@nottingham.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.